Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Live from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life, Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me. Until we all vibrate the same frequency. Everybody, it's a beautiful Aries moon outside. And my guest tonight you can find at offplanetradio.com. My buddy Randy has been a radio host, a researcher, an anomalous experiencer. And he has a lot of information and a lot of experiences that he could share with us. And Randy's been doing his own show for years now, and he spent many years in this, if you want to call it, field, and his insight and intelligence is really a breath of fresh air sometimes. And you guys really gotta, if you haven't heard of Randy, you really are in for a treat, because he's got a lot to share, and you gotta check his radio show out that he does with Emily. And it's called, once again, Off Planet Radio, and you can find it at offplanetradio.com. And before this hour passes too quickly, I just want to pull him on and get right into it. And I'm really excited to have him here. I've been wanting to have him on my show for a while now. I was on his show not too long ago, and I think I'm going to be back on this Tuesday coming up. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, Randy Morgans. Welcome, Randy. Are you there, Randy?
There we go. Okay. Had a mute button. I'm outstanding in my field. That's what I'm doing. I'm whatever. I've been doing this way too long. Thanks for having me on, Ralph. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy to have you here. And you know, when you were talking about like what would you do? Just have a spontaneous interview? Do you want to have a topic? What do you have? And when you said, I kind of want to focus how we have a world before this solar eclipse and a world after this solar eclipse. And when you said that, and it just like, it hit me hard, because like, that's what I've been feeling. I think that's what everybody who's intuitive and has some kind of brain on their shoulders, and they're not just, you know, walking around, as a automaton or something, you know, and they have some kind of intelligence. They can see that, you know, before the solar eclipse, there was a certain frequency and vibe of the planet. And since then, it's been cataclysm after cataclysm and bad event. And you can see the world has gone to a new way, a new level of the apocalypse, basically.
Yeah, that's what it is, actually. We've been in the apocalypse for a long time, from my reckoning.
Yeah, probably since Columbus came, maybe even before that.
A lot of the traditional views about the apocalypse were that it was this like strict period of either 7 years or 3.5 years, depending on how you interpreted the Book of Revelation and Matthew scriptures. But the fact of the matter is there's no time constraints on this. Well, there's no time anyway. I mean, that's really the nugget of the whole thing. But the solar eclipse that occurred was unprecedented. In my lifetime, and in as far as I know, the lifetimes of previous generations in the 20th and now the 21st century, this event was a complete bookmark in history in terms of how we now view our world.
I agree. And it's like almost like a switch was pressed or a button was pushed with the solar eclipse. And it's frightening what's been taking place. And, you know, it's also, I feel that whatever the powers that be, whatever you want to call the elites or whatever you want to say, they're being orchestrated and they're in cahoots with this sort of unseen force that nobody can put a finger on. Is it an artificial intelligence? Is it what's controlling everything? Is it aliens? Is it what? But whatever it is, I feel that there's a technology throughout the universe that works with symbols and codes, and it activates things, and it has entrapped us in this physical realm with these certain codes and technologies, and we're on this physical plane in sort of a simulated experience to feel these five senses, to feel this material world. And I feel that we're encased in here, or quarantined, or whatever you want to call it, and we're ruled by these unseen entities, or this unseen, if you want to call it AI, or whatever you want to call it, but we're somehow entrapped here and being ruled by a dark force, I feel, for a very long time. And as soon as you tap into what our real life is supposed to be like, with no time and a spirit body, and because I really don't feel, Randy, that we were ever meant to have a physical body, actually. I think we agreed to come here for some sort of mission, and it's been hijacked, right? And our true form is supposed to be in spirit body with no barriers of time. And I think we kind of agreed to come here for some sort of mission, and then we all got amnesia now because it's been hijacked.
We're in a rescue mission. We're in a rescue mission for a race of people that were lost. We don't know the time spans. This goes back to my days of doing Christian radio, and I actually broke this all down back in 2011. I did a 3-part radio show series on the first 6 chapters of the book of Genesis, where I broke out what the fall was. That basically we had been beings who were in light bodies who vibrated at very high frequencies. Your whole spiral metaphor works real well with that. And through a series of miscalculations, we essentially fell vibrationally into gross physical material realm. And as a result of that, we had what was called the fall. That was the original race of people. The whole Adam and Eve thing was it's an analogy, it's a metaphor. It wasn't Adam and Eve, it was a race, it was an Adamic race. It was a collective that fell. And we've been cycling through this collective through epochs of this construct, this realm we call Earth that we dwell upon, for the endless cycles. Many of the people that are here now are the same people that were here then.
Yeah, ancient ones.
We're just finding each other. Yep. And the mission is to raise the vibration of the planet itself and the race itself, which does not include everything that you would consider to be human by any means, but there's a seed race here. There's a group of us, a group of people, humans in form, that are essentially working now to reclaim what we lost at the time that we vibrationally fell into this gross material realm.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I need to get that work that you said that you broke it down, because I'm pretty on point with everything you're saying. It's pretty on point with what I believe and I feel. And like, I'm not saying that we know everything or whatever, but when your whole body responds to certain things when it's said and thought, and when you experience it and you feel it, you know it's true within you, or you're on the right path. And when I hear this information and when I come to my own conclusions in my own way, and then hear other people like you explain the way you came to your conclusions and what your view is, and it's almost the same thing but just from different ways, I mean, that's proof right in itself.
Well, I think a lot of us have been working through this stuff, not just in this lifetime, but obviously previous lives as well. But I think for a lot of us, we've been working through this since we were children. And in my case, that's absolutely true. I've been obsessed by a couple of aspects of our reality. One of them, chief among them, has been time. Because time to me seems so inscrutable, so impossible to understand, how we measure things with such incredible accuracy, and yet time itself seems so elastic in terms of how we perceive it.
Well, what do you think about this? What do you think? You think maybe kind of when the moon was brought here, that's when time started almost on this physical plane? Something like that?
Yeah, you're talking about the Saturn-Moon matrix. And technically the moon is a secondary chronometer. Saturn, Kronos, remember Kronos is Saturn, is actually the master time clock for the galactic system. And these two spheroid entities have been what has kept us entrained into both gross material matter and the time domain that we live in. Because we think of time's expressed as a dimension. It's not really a dimension itself. It doesn't have any type of constraints in terms of physical space. It is, in fact, what we would call, in computer terms, a time domain system. It basically keeps a pulse that we operate in.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's like we have these barriers of time, past, present, and future. That's our barriers, you know. And I feel it's all running simultaneously, these timelines. And kind of when we're born, we're given these spiritual timelines, all these little spiritual blueprints that we could possibly go down, and then we get polarized towards some of them in certain incarnations, and we have these missions that we're trying to accomplish, spiritual missions to achieve, you know, whatever we agreed upon. And when it comes to us having now amnesia at our birth, do you think that we've kind of been hijacked for hundreds of thousands of years?
Yeah, that's that whole thing of the constant death, recycling, scrubbing.
Yeah, but I think this is over now. I think this
and it is over. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
A lot of it is that there are souls that have come in intact anyway, that had, if not complete memory, at least vestigial memory of previous lives, and even between lives, what the Hindus call the bardo, and the sense that somehow or another we had been basically dropped in here out of a prison cell and forced to walk this strange physical material realm. I don't know. I mean, even as a kid, I still say this, I feel like an alien here. If there's truly an alien, it's probably me, because I'm not comfortable with it, and I never was. And my whole life has been this battle trying to figure out, how in the heck did I get here, and what am I supposed to do? And I mean, that's the struggle that we have. Some of us remember.
I think that's what most people that are researching or experiencing things in the categories we talk about and we experience, that's pretty much the blueprint of, you know, how they felt their whole life. And, you know, it becomes really, and then when you start to remember who you are, you know, and you start to remember who you've been, and what you're supposed to, who the real you is, it's hard to be in this physical body. It gets harder to live a normal life, you know, and it's hard to separate the two. And learning to balance that is a struggle, you know, and I feel too that this solar eclipse had, we're talking about the timelines and this. I also feel, and how the Saturn moon matrix, and how we feel that, you know, that it's over now. This is possibly our last incarnation, you know, and this might be the final battle, if you want to say, of the end times, of the apocalypse, or whatever you want to call it. You can label it anything. But I feel that this solar eclipse also had something to do with deleting some of these timelines, or deleting access to certain time gates. You know, I'm not saying I know exactly what I'm talking about for sure, but for certain things that I've pulled, certain information I've pulled in, or certain things I've caught glimpses of, I feel that's kind of what happened, is some sort of timeline deletion in a way, or something like to that effect.
Yeah, what I think happened was, I actually think it was a collapse of a timeline that had actually been artificial. We basically have had controllers that have been mapping timelines and guiding this world that we live in via these timelines. And what occurred on the eclipse, and I saw this supernaturally. And I think, the thing about this eclipse was that people felt this thing. I mean, quite honestly, the morning of that eclipse, it felt like I was walking around in an airtight container. It was that still, that quiet. And I know that other people sensed it. Some couldn't express it. But we had this sense that when we woke up that day, something very strange had begun to take place. Yeah. And so they've been using timelines. I mean, the military has had numerous projects. One of the most famous out there is Project Looking Glass, which was basically a technological scrying device that enabled them to view timelines up to but not past 2012. I remember hearing a report from a remote viewer who was a military-grade remote viewer back in 2011 that said that Looking Glass had collapsed operations as a result of the fact they no longer could access timelines beyond 2012, which fed into the whole kind of pseudo-apocalyptic aspects of 2012. But in fact, what was happening then was that the timelines were constricting and their technology was failing. And so that's actually around the same period, going back 2009, because obviously that intel at the time was kind of dated. If you go back and you look at the timeline of them activating CERN and focus in around 2009, you'll find that they were really pushing things with CERN at that point because of the fact that Looking Glass technology had collapsed and they were desperately trying to find another way to open up another time portal. So
now, was that at Groom Lake or?
Well, CERN, the Large Hadron Collider.
No, I know the
Looking Glass was, yeah, I probably was Groom Lake. Yeah, Looking Glass, it might have been Groom Lake. I never got a location exactly on where it was going on. There was a whistleblower named Bill Brockbrader, who was on the internet around 2011, and I talked to Bill. He was part of Project Looking Glass as well, and he was the person who basically gave me that data. So in that period of time, wherever that technology was, Groom Lake, probably a pretty good choice. That technology was collapsing. That's when they were really starting to focus big time on getting CERN up and running and majorly pushing the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, I mean, they even have, I know I'm well aware of the collider in Switzerland. You know, I talked about it a lot, you know, and I know there's even one over here at Brookhaven Labs. I'm not sure of the size of it.
Yes, yes.
But I know they have one here.
Yeah, that's a smaller collider. There's one down outside of Austin, Texas. There's probably a half dozen of them on the continental United States.
And it's probably linked in sizes. Some sort of network. And
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yep. Some black hole network, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, so it's interesting too, Randy, because when you were talking, I was getting little, and I don't know if you want to call them maybe even past lives of you, but I felt this like cold snake priest vibe, like you were almost like you had something to do with some kind of ceremonies and snake priest in a former life or something like that. Interesting.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, the serpent is an interesting, that goes back to Genesis as well. That's the Nakash, or the Shining Ones, which would be seen largely today as ETs, extraterrestrials. And those guys have been around in my life for since I was a little kid.
Yeah. So I had mentioned it earlier when I was talking to you, is that I feel when you were growing up that you had certain things, maybe even you were kind of recruited out of school for certain experiments. Did you ever have them come to you at school and you take certain tests and certain things like that? Is there something you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was what I understood to have been.
I think you might have vaguely mentioned it to me once, but then I saw an image of you earlier today, like as a kid, and I just knew it was your energy, and I saw you just like looking at a whole bunch of rapid images moving and like you smiling.
That's exactly what it was. The some of the early testing that they did, this would have been sub-project to Project Talent. But what they did was they tested us, the specific testing that I remember would have taken place second or third grade. The particular test was basically very rapidly scanned images projected from a box, which was technology way beyond what was available at that time. You would call it digital technology, LED,
almost
plasma.
That movie Clockwork Orange, something like, you know, how they're watching all those that film of all these bad events and different stuff, almost something like that.
This was much more rapid. It was also, a lot of it was symbols, and a lot of the point of the testing was largely activation as well as testing. You find out that a lot of the things that they do have two levels, three levels or more to them. So part of it was actually testing and part of it was actually initiation to see how you respond to these images and to see what your brain scan rates are. A lot of what they were interested in developing at that time was psi talents. they were looking for latent abilities.
And I think they pulled a few people out of your school. It wasn't just you. I think they were doing it to a few people that had that certain brain to maybe be able to take it on. I think my mind, because I've seen the movie Clockwork Orange, I think my psyche associated with that. That's why I had an image of you in that sort of situation, of like a Clockwork Orange situation, because I think that's how my mind related to it and gave me that image. But I feel that you were probably throughout.
If you had asked me that a year ago, I would have said no. But in last year, I got a confirmation because I was contacted by a kid that I grew up with until we would have been in third grade. He's actually living out of the country now. And he contacted me and began to ask me a lot of questions, starting with, do you remember our tests? And then, so what was your IQ? And then it eventually got around to the place where we were talking about underground bases and, frankly, you know, some stuff that when I was reading it, I couldn't talk to him. This was all text over Facebook Messenger. I was getting chills up my spine because this was like decades and decades, not even believing a lot of this myself, and then finally getting a confirmation for this, which has been an ongoing process for a lot of years of trying to pull back what's real. The problem with all the programs is that they use screen memories. They use a lot of wipe technology. You don't really have a clear sense of if you've been through something or if you haven't, less what the specific memories are. But I've gotten several hits over the last 6-7 years that now prove that, that was going on as well.
Yeah, and I think now, too, it's more involved with, like, an attack on your five bodies. You know, we have our spirit, our aural, our astral, and you know, our soul keeps them all enclosed, and our material body keeps them all enclosed. And I think they're attacking those etheric bodies, you know, now. And
well, what they're doing, is really interesting because they're building a sixth body. It's called the technology body. And they're wrapping that around us now via our environment, via all the electromagnetic frequencies, Wi-Fis.
Yeah.
5G will be the icing on the cake. A lot of people are not going to tolerate 5G. I don't think they're going to live through it because 5G is going to be so intense. We're talking massive gigahertz scale energy constantly around us.
And listen, Randy, now there, and I, at first I was like, what's the reason to it? Why is it happening? But they're giving you, look it up on the internet, Google it. They're giving away no money whatsoever. You don't have to pay taxes on it. You don't have to pay installation on it. You don't have to pay anything ever. They're giving away free solar panels. I mean solar panels all over your roof in New York.
Oh, yeah, we
in
see
Orange
them
County,
yeah.
in Rockland County, all these counties in New York, they're giving away free solar panels. And for what? Are they trying to like cook us in this little bubble? What are they doing? Is it to keep this signal? It's something more to it. It's not because they want to help us with our electricity bills. No way.
No, they could have done that. They could have done that 30 or 40 years ago. The fact of the matter is that anybody that saw the eclipse knows there's something really wrong with the sun. I mean, what's going on with that thing? I mean, first off, when I was a kid, the sun was red or was yellow with a reddish hue to it.
Now it's white.
Now it's white. It's luminescent white. And at times, it is literally like a high-intensity projector. Just bombing you with high-intensity radiation waves.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to have a break in like 3 minutes, so we'll probably get into it into the break, after the break. But I feel it goes all the way back to even Akhenaten with the sun and how he was downloading sort of like an AI virus, you know. And it's like it first projected certain things in God in ascended master form. And now it's that same regurgitated information but in alien form or you know, you're channeling some kind of Ashtar command or something like that. And it's this same ultra intelligence that's, you know, running and tapping into our spiral of life, if you want to put it that way. You know, that we have, like I mentioned on your show, that we have the macro spiral that we all live in. Everything with a material form and a soul lives in this spiral of life, and anything without an essence is outside that spiral. I feel that this outside alien artificial like insectoid intelligence, and it replicates things. And why does it replicate insectoid or octopus type? Because that's the most dominant species on the planet, insects, you know. It's, it's very, you know, so when you replicate that, it's very easily, you know what I mean, like, so it's very dominant, it's very infiltrating, they're strong willed, they don't, you know, they don't think like we do, they don't have emotion like that, they're to a point, they terraform, you know. And I think that this machine, if you want to think, it had all these years to terraform our planet and get ready, and maybe it was a lot here during the time of Atlantis, and that contributed to the downfall of Atlantis because it tried to merge with that spiral of life back then, and they were more spiritual based maybe or something, and they weren't able to merge with it, and now they terraform this planet for all of these years, get it more metal like or whatever you want to call it, more ready for them to merge with our consciousness and our DNA and our world.
Absolutely. So it's what our friend Laura Leone calls the metal god.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, I'm not a doctor, but when I see, when I try to like take view of our brain and how the sun interacts with it, it's almost like we have these particles inside of our brain, right? And it's like little satellites or magnets, and they get info and frequencies and transmissions from the sun and the moon, and it gets directly affected by the sun, these little particles in our brain. And I think that it's all some sort of technology that we're linked to, and that when the moon and the sun were here, it's controlling everything. Think about it. Even the plants, the growth of the plants, everything that is on our planet is affected by the sun or the moon. It's how we are ruled. And It's all a technology. I mean, the nature doesn't form a perfect eclipse. Imagine how they describe the moon was created. Okay, it was created by this theory that it was like even the asteroid belt, this whack theory and all this shit, all this stuff. And think about it. How can it be perfectly fit over the sun like that, naturally, like that? How can, if it was just some rock, You know, how can it be?
Yeah, exactly. Well, nothing's what we think it is. The construct we live in is it's nothing like what the NASA photos want to show you or your science teachers told you in school. We live in something that's quite amazing, and at the same time, it's a construct. It's an artifice. It's wrapped around us.
Yeah, it really is. And when we come back after break, we'll go way deeper on this, and we'll get more into the life of Mr. Randy Mulgans, who you can find at offplanetradio.com, and you can find us at themysticalspiral.com. Welcome, everybody. This is Mystical Spiral Radio, and it's Friday night here on Para X. And this show, this song coming up is called Radio Lena by Far Radio Clouds. We'll be back after this with Mr. Randy Mulgans. Spiral out.
Anywhere. Thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
And we are back, and that song was called Radio Lena by far Radio Clouds. And all the music that you hear on Spiral Radio is either created by myself or my buddy Ricky Rodriguez. And you can find us on Facebook or Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, MySpace, all those places that music has been. And some of my old stuff is still up on MySpace. Yeah, I haven't touched it in about 10 years, but it's up there. And so you can find my guest tonight as well on offplanetradio.com. And you can also find him on YouTube and his other host, Emily Moyer, who I'm eventually probably going to have on the show as well. And you can also find my new show on Truth Frequency Radio Network, TFRLive.com, every Saturday night. And my show is called Eye of Ra. And so, Randy, we were getting in before the break about the sun and its effect and the sun and the moon. Now, even Akhenaten, he changed the whole way of Egyptian life over the sun, the true Aten, his son, his true god, the one god. And I feel that's he was channeling some sort of AI, maybe mantid type intelligence. I mean, if you look at Akhenaten, his body structure was very mantis like, curved hips, elongated skull, his eye structure. And maybe he was in it sort of part, I don't know, I can't say for sure, but maybe he was part us and part something else. I'm not sure.
Well, that was the formation of the solar cult religions that we're still living under now. I mean, all you need to do is go and look at the iconography behind the Vatican. All of Christianity adopted the solar cult religion, which was odd because
it was a moon cult. Yeah, I think that's where even the Jewish got their moon worship from, was their time in Egypt.
And then the migration through Babylon. But the solar religions have been the dominant religions, monotheistic forms, since the probably 6th, 7th century BC going forward. Coming out of Egypt, everything was already hardened around that. That's where you have the succession of the kingdoms rising and falling that's chronicled in the scriptures as well. Because this was basically, the solar god was also a war god. He was various names, the El gods that were seen in the old pantheon, and then Yahweh, Jehovah. These were all war gods, essentially, that basically attached themselves to older messianic traditions going way, way back, way probably even before Atlantis.
Let's talk about this, how maybe these ancient giants and these ancient entities that might may be even part of this AI as well, because maybe, and what we're calling AI is just an intelligence outside of our divine spark, some sort of technology that exists that can actually push things to matter on our physical plane and may have created this physical plane. Who knows, I mean, the Gnostics talk about Sophia, you know, creating Yaldabaoth and this material world, and maybe these ancient beings have been sleeping in a stasis or something like this for a long time, and that they're using, and they kind of gave the elites that we have now of our world, their descendants and certain bloodlines, that I feel they can just smell the bloodlines, and these ancient giants, they can smell the blood, the DNA in the blood, and hence Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, I smell the blood of, they could smell it. I think that that's part of their abilities, is that they could smell the DNA. And I think that these ancient beings kind of gave their descendants, or these elites, gave this material world to them to look like they can rule it for a little while. Here, rule it, but they're secretly, entrapped by these sacred geometries and codes and rituals and everything that their technology is based on, and that they use it to keep us entrapped in our grid. I mean, even when you're going down the street, you have stop signs and octagons and all of these symbols everywhere, and maybe we're caught in some sort of grid that's their technology, and that's how they base things on. And I feel that
we respond to all of that geometry because that was programmed into us. That's all. If the natural forms of things would be more organic, fractal type formations, Mandelbrots, and things like that. We've been programmed into a world of geometry, right angles, straight lines. Nothing in this world is essentially feng shui in the way that it would conduct our energies properly. It's all been hijacked energetically using all of that, using sigils, using magic, using geometry.
And I think that these beings are awakening now. I think that they want the planet back. It's a new transition, a new world rising, and they're sort of taking it back in a way, and they're using certain rituals and certain sacrifices to bring them back up in our collective consciousness, which helps push them back into matter and to appear back on this material realm. And I think that's what's happening, and I truly believe that. And we're using certain rituals, and certain things are getting projected into people's consciousness, like this harvest festival, the harvest, you know, the harvest of souls, and all these people being sacrificed, you know. And I think certain things, the smell of blood is awakening or something like that. I don't know for sure, but I feel I'm onto something, and I feel that it has to do with awakening these sleeping giants and these sleeping entities that have been in a stasis for hundreds and thousands of years possibly, and that they want to rule back on this plane.
Well, you know, you'd said earlier about the fact that we're trapped here, and in one level we are. We're trapped by a physicality that isn't really part of who we are. But more importantly, the giants, the Nephilim, the ancient gods, whatever, you know, beings you want to reckon with, they're the ones that are actually trapped in this. That goes back to the Gnostic legends, where these entities realized that they had a creation which was called effectively in the tongue of its time an abortion. And that they were cast into their own creation. They became that creation. So what they've really been trying to tap into is the one thing they don't have, which is the fractal aspect of the divine and the DNA being the expression of that. However collapsed our DNA is right now, the formula is there for eternalism, something that they can't conceive of. This is where you parse words a little bit. Eternality is not the same thing as immortality. Immortality is a curse. Eternality is the endurance of the being's consciousness and divine forms into perpetuity, whereas immortality is being cast into a structure you can never escape from.
Yeah.
So the battle is between us as beings who are attempting to break out of the cocoon, so to speak, into the crystalline structure of our DNA, our own genetic structure, our own consciousness, and these beings who have no way to even conceive of, much less have access to, that functional form of the crystalline structure.
Yeah, that's pretty well put. I mean, and so do you feel like they're awakening or coming back to take over this physical plane or to be on this physical plane once again?
I think they're quickened right now to make a last run at it, because what I think they know and what they've known for millennia is that there was a time coming when humanity itself was going to quicken, when humanity itself was going to go through the next wave of conscious evolution, which is moving frequency-wise out of the physical domain to the place where we can basically move back and forth between realms and dimensions.
Yeah,
and so they know this. And once we access that, we effectively become not just their masters, but they really don't matter anymore. It's like worrying about bacteria. You just wipe it down with a cloth and move on.
I think once they manifest on this material plane, that now they get subject to the laws of this realm as well. They need to nourish themselves. They have this ravenous sexual appetite. They have all these, you know, huge, giant-like, you know, desires now. Because, you know, there's these tales of them coming into, you know, being in this realm and having the strength of 700 men, but also needing to have sex with dozens of women and eating seven deer and all this stuff in one clip, and maybe now once they get pushed into matter and they appear on this realm, because they are these interdimensional beings, that once they do appear on this realm, now they're subject to the laws of this realm, and they need to nourish themselves. They have sexual appetites. They have all these things in it that go along with these tales of these giants.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the ancient story. It's never changed.
Yeah.
It says that in the time of the Nephilim, they basically ate until there was nothing left to eat, and then they began to devour each other. They basically went to cannibalism.
Yeah, I had a crazy image just before too. Like, well, when you were talking, of I don't know, it could have happened throughout your life, you know, when you were in bed and there was something spinning above you while you were in bed, almost like a goddess dancing over you, almost, or something spinning over you in bed. Did you ever have an experience like that, where something was spinning above your bed?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, well, night visitations were pretty common. They actually were common for many years and still have occasionally occurred in my life.
So do you think that is there's more to it, that it's some sort of outside technology that's like working on our five bodies in a way, like a five bodies attack, like I call it?
Well, I think, you know, you go into the lore of UFO abductions, which is what I spent a number of years when I first started doing this show looking into, because it was so parallel to my own experiences. You find that these are very common experiences among numerous groups of people, people who have been through contacts with extraterrestrials as we know them, people who have been through projects, people who are highly attuned psychically and are basically being targeted by these entities as well. And so you have the whole culture of basically you wake up and you're frozen in your sleep. Your eyes move, yep, and everything else is frozen. You know,
more than sleep paralysis. There's more to it than that, yeah.
Much more than that, yeah. Yeah. You're basically in a state of physical stasis at that point where your consciousness is awake but your body's not responding, which is exactly what it feels like when you shift dimensions.
Yeah, no, it's... They try to put it out there like it's sleep paralysis and things like that, but when there's a difference, you know, that when you have some sort of outside influence that you feel is directly like overlaid over your consciousness, and you're seeing entities coming at you in full form, and then all of a sudden you'll see it like a see-through type of entity coming at you, and you'll feel your body's leaving your body, and you're trying to get up off the bed but you can't, you're trying to scream but you can't, and you'll see something like coming through the door at you, that is not anything like sleep paralysis. That is, you know, the sleep paralysis doesn't do things like that. I feel it's some kind of outside influence that
it's basically fundamentally an astral abduction at that point.
That's
the part that they're really after. I mean, yeah, there's the concept of the abductions that take place where people wind up on a table, on a platform, and there's tissue being taken. All of that's, you know, there are many experiences fall under all of these umbrellas. But effectively, what you just described there is very much an astral abduction. That happened to me.
Yeah.
Ripped out of your body. And, I mean, you can see yourself. You have that viewpoint. I don't know. I mean, I've floated up to the ceiling and looked down at myself. I floated out way beyond what we would recognize as our own stratospheric realm
as well.
Yeah.
For sure. I know what you mean. And, you know, it goes back, I mean, for hundreds of thousands of years. Even, you know, the Hopi, they were known, like, they just described it in different ways, but, like, To gain their magic and to gain new members, and because every tribe, every religion has a dark part of it, and even the Hopi tribe has dark witchcraft and dark snake clans in a way too. They have these dark snake clans, and some of their ceremonies involved initiation and things like that, and when they would initiate, some of it had to do with like abducting and bewitching children in their sleep, and these type of they would like kind of like abduct and kidnap sleeping children and bewitch, mm-hmm. you know, and they were known to like fly in by the night in the dark of the moon and stuff like that. And it's there was levels of this witchcraft in Hopi as well. Like they would have to kill some of their relatives to gain more years on their life, you know, and things like that. It would be like bloodshed and sacrifice.
Well, these are all parts of our own mythologies, our own legends. Even the fairy tales. You go back and you read the original Grimm's fairy tales, and you're going to find that all of these images are there in those experiences, because nothing's changed. Children are the most desirable target for all of this, because they don't have, first off, they're wide open psychically. Secondly, they're still pretty innocent in terms of, well, their sexuality, and also in terms of their core soul being itself. And that makes them prime for this. Most little kids pressed will tell you that they do experience paranormal experiences. I just went through this with a family member, a four-year-old boy. It's my grandson. And and he's been experiencing this stuff. And we sat down and we've talked about it, you know, because I remember what that felt like as a kid.
How much can you share of the experience?
Well, he's basically seeing beings.
Like shadow type?
Yeah, like shadow type beings. Yeah,
wow, which, you know, as a kid.
You know, a lot of this has to do with our genealogy, our genetics, our predisposition to psychic gifts and intelligences, and children are different. They run the gamut. This little boy happens to be very gifted psychically. He always has been. You can feel it. You can sense it in him. I've sensed it since he was tiny.
Yeah, and that means he has the biggest of hearts, and his emotions are deep.
That's the thing about it. It's the same thing with the projects. They targeted people exactly the same way.
Yeah.
They profiled coming in. I mean, they knew who we were when we came in, all of us. They were keeping databases long before anybody thinks they had computing power to do so. They were keeping databases of souls. And those souls were cataloged according to abilities and proclivities and the arcs of the soul, and whether they can bend that somewhat, because souls come in with intentionality. This is most of your audience, most of my audience, are people who came in with a very strong calling on their life.
Yeah.
That rescue mission that we've talked about, to finally pull this race of divine spark human beings back up to their proper estate.
That was really well put, Randy. You know, that's exactly how I feel too. I mean, it's a pleasure having you here too tonight. And if you're just joining us, everybody in the chat room, we are with the one and only Randy Mulgans at offplanetradio.com, and you can catch his show on YouTube. And where else does the show air, Randy?
Right now, it's pretty much YouTube and on the website. We're not doing live shows. We're more or less kind of a podcast type thing, just because of the schedules that Emily and I have. And I've been working with Emily now for a little over a year, formally. Emily's been in the background for years with this. And so the way we work best is to kind of be very fluid. So having a regular scheduled show doesn't really work for us right now, but down the road, maybe. So YouTube, youtube.com/offplanetmedia, Off Planet Radio.
Wow. So you guys have only been together a year, the two of you. Wow. So in that year, you guys have pretty caught on quick, because you got a lot of following in that year. Because I've known about you for a little while now, and you know, I'm not one to listen to a lot of, even though you would think so, I don't listen to a lot of alternative media shows and stuff.
I know neither.
I let people, like, I check them out to be aware of them and check them out, like, to get my little feel of who they are, but I don't like to listen to a lot of them, because I don't like them to influence my views.
This kind of goes into the whole thing of this gathering that's in process. And see, Emily's a key element to that. Emily brings things to the table that complete what I had started a long time ago. And so she's come in and she's brought her part of this thing to the table. And what we're doing is we're all plugging in with each other at different levels right now. We're creating a conversation that spans out across multiple people, multiple broadcasters, multiple stations. It's one conversation, but we're having it in different time frames.
I agree. And it's like, and I feel that it's like certain people, they're like jumping timelines in a way when they're, you know, and that something happened with this solar eclipse that something is wrong with the timeline, or that something ended for sure.
Something did ended. And yes. what really happened was we went through a reset. You notice, have you seen the headlines about how the oceans will suddenly get sucked out? And like you'll have all of this dead beach sitting there, and then the waters start to come back in again. The vision I had on that is this is a reset. This is what we call Earth, Terra, however you want to describe that. This is all part of a reset cycle right now. The oceans get pulled back in to the toroidal machine, replenished, and then pushed back out again as a cleansing action. It's just the Earth resetting.
Yeah, I mean, and you need to have some say the destruction before the renewal, right? I mean, that's what the ancient Shiva does, the cosmic dance, and maybe that's what CERN...
We've had destruction for a long time, brother. It's about time for us to start rebuilding. It's time to end the destruction fight. You know, the destruction has been ongoing. It's been massive.
I mean, and before we close, I mean, just to say, too, with all of these mass killings and everything that's happening, I mean, I think it is definitely more to it than what they tell us, but it's also about they want us to be more militarized, more control. I guarantee you now, everything, and I knew there were going to be all these blood donations and all this stuff because they need the emotion, the energy. They want you to willingly give up your blood to donate to the ritual. You become part of the ritual then. You're willingly giving your blood to it. And I feel that...
That's exactly right.
You know, everything now is going to be military, right? I guarantee you at every event there will be snipers on the roofs now, probably clocked out like these big towers with snipers in them. And it's all going to be more militarized, everybody looking through cars. And I guess you do... You can't say, hey, we don't need that because you want to stop a madman. But in the same time, was it set up that way before this? Who knows? But I guarantee you there'll be snipers at all events
here's
now.
Here's the cool thing. Yeah. Those of us out there that wake up and activate ourselves, we're going to walk through the whole thing. We can become invisible when we need to be. We'll be seen when we need to be. I believe in the divine power of the human being. And I think that every move they make against us now just strengthens the quickening, and that we're becoming. we're in the arc right now. I mean, we're activating.
I agree. I definitely agree. That's a good way to put it. I mean, you can't really. It could be 1,000 catastrophes, you know, and that's the apocalypse for everyone. Like in Puerto Rico, that is their end of their world. You know, they have to rebuild now. It's a renewal.
Oh, God bless those people down there.
And I don't think storms like that just happen like that. I mean,
no, we're talking engineering here, very high level engineering.
And I feel that there's something going on in that El Junque rainforest. And my friend, I have a friend that's a UFOologist, in his 50s. Jorge Martin, I've had him on my show, and he has no electricity, no water. I finally got in contact with him, and he was telling me, get a real-time satellite, Ra. Look at the El Junque rainforest. There's something happening there. And I feel that there's something going on with these time gates or something going on there that's an access in Puerto Rico, and they needed no electricity grid. They needed no everything. They needed everything wiped out in that area for a certain period of time to accomplish some sort of mission. And that's really what's going on down there.
Yeah, and that's the kind of operation they'd like to run on selected segments of this country as well, if they could get away with it right now.
Yeah, and it's horrible because imagine if this country right here had no electricity, we got to close in like 30 seconds. Wow, we had no electricity, no water for a few weeks. Most of our you know, elderly would die in a few weeks, you know,
the elderly, absolutely.
You know, and we're too reliant on electricity and oil and gas. And it's crazy. But Randy, it's been fun. We got to have you on my other show anytime you want. You could check him out, everybody.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome. You got Peter Moon tomorrow night. That should rock.
Yeah, it'll be great. And you could check Randy out once again at offplanetradio.com. And we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, my producer, Sarge, everybody out listening out on Pyrex Radio as well. And thank you, Randy, once again.
Peace.
And Spiral out. You